Chapter 7 for our second reading. As I've meditated on the church and her prayers over the years, I've come to, I think, three particular topics that are important, I think. And it took me a long time. I apologize that it took me so long to come to these conclusions. But, you know, I think the church ought to be praying in three ways when we're gathered publicly. I think we ought to pray through the Lord's Prayer as a people. That's how our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our confession says that that's the most wonderful prayer to be used, and so on. In the Lucan version, in Luke chapter 8, we're going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, "When ye pray, y'all say," and then he's going to repeat that. Okay, so then the second thing, besides the use of the Lord's Prayer and learning how to pray together, the second thing we ought to be praying for is personal things. And so we do that on the Lord's Day afternoons, and we pray for those family issues and issues of health and supply and, you know, personal things that we pray for as a body. And then the third thing that we ought to be praying for, and this was the one that took me a long time to understand, I think, but don't we see in Scripture so many of these very, very large venue prayer requests where we pray for the church generally, we pray for the nation generally, and so on. We're praying for very large things, not personal and not particular to the Lord's Prayer, but don't we in the Lord's Prayer learn to talk about those large things, thy kingdom come, and so on. And so on Wednesday nights then, as a people, we're praying not just for ourselves, but the entirety of the church or the entirety of our nation, not just, you know, Wiley or North Texas or Texas itself, but really for those very large things. And so that's what we've been doing on Wednesday nights. And again, as I said before, I found it a great blessing and encouragement. All right, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, behold mine anger, and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants the prophets daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. How long you want to give me to unpack this chapter? Well, in the first section, I have that as verses 1 through 15. The Lord, remember, he is commanding here the visible church, those that are coming to worship him. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Everything that is said in this chapter is spoken concerning the people that have a profession of faith in the true God. That's frightening, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. Think about all of the curses and all of the things that have been said in this passage, and remember where Jeremiah was told to preach these things. In the gate of the Lord's house. So, first of all, notice that the Lord is speaking not only outwardly, but he's speaking to the inner man. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And then notice what it is. He says to them, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Wow, three times. What an emphasis, right? What had they done? They were putting their faith, their confidence, not in a heart religion, but in an outward religion. We have the temple. You know, Ephraim, the northern kingdom, they've fallen. Why did they fall? Well, it's obvious why they fell. They didn't have the temple. We do. That's where they were. They didn't have the temple. We do. And in that Jeremiah is told to say it three times, it has become an unthinking mantra to them. Now, the church has had those for a very, very long time. We might say it this way. Reformed, Reformed, Reformed. Calvinist, 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 fundamentalist, fundamentalist, fundamentalist. We might say it in all kinds of different ways. What is the Lord saying here? Do not trust in lying words. When we set our hope on something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the community in which we worship, the style of worship, Westminster, 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 whatever it is, what have we done? We have committed idolatry. We have replaced the Lord. They committed idolatry with the temple of the Lord. Not only had they brought abominable things into the temple and committed idolatry with the temple in that way, but they committed idolatry with the temple thinking that because we have the temple, we're spiritually safe. Those are lying words. This is our propensity, isn't it, as fallen human beings, to cast about for anything except Jesus Christ to rest upon and to trust Him. And although we can be rescued out of that slave market, we can be regenerated, we can have new hearts, the remnants of those corruptions are always with us, and we must always be on our guard against them. We will not dare to say that none of those people that were saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord were eternally safe. Perhaps some of them were. But this is still an error to be avoided even by the people of God. So we must not trust in our religious heritage, our brand of Christianity. We must cast all of that aside. And yes, there's some dovetailing there, sure. When we trust in Christ alone, we are standing in the stream of Reformation theology. We understand that, sure, we get that. But it cannot be Reformation theology that is our Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and right thinking about Him. And wherever that dovetails, so let it be. So, there's something else going on here, and that is that they are bringing their abominations. They are living in profligacy. Some of the sins that are mentioned, let's see, what was it? Adultery, swearing falsely, burning incense to Baal, walking after other gods, trusting in lying words, stealing, murder. And then they come to the Lord's house and they say, we've got the temple of the Lord. We're safe. Now this particular kind of doctrine has morphed into something really bad today, right? And it's fair sounding and high sounding when we talk about the quote unquote eternal security of the believer. But the eternal security of the believer, as we have learned to repudiate, is really not the Bible doctrine. The Bible doctrine is the perseverance in faith of the people of God. It's not really eternal security, as if you can have security without faith. As if you can have security without obedience. As if you can have security without some measure of following after the Lord in everything. This is the Bible doctrine. Does the Bible teach the eternal security of the believer in the sense of once saved, always saved, in that sense that once the Lord has His grip on you, you can never be ungripped? Yes, it does teach that, but it does not teach, it never teaches that you can lie, cheat, steal, murder, commit adultery, and then stand in the Lord's house as innocent when you are involved in practicing those things. No, never. In fact, the New Testament in 3-4 instances that I can think of off the top of my head says those who practice such things shall never inherit the kingdom of God. And so the theologian from Dallas Theological Seminary that said you can become an unbelieving believer, that's how powerful once saved, always saved is, we tell him, no sir, you mistake. And as a teacher in the church, you will come under a stricter judgment for saying such things. The sin has gone to seed in many places. May it not go to seed here. So they trusted in those lying words. They believed they could do whatever they please and then stand in the Lord's house and get their atonement. There's another church that teaches that, right? Just come in and do a few laps around some beads. And whatever it is that you've done, you can come in tomorrow and do the same thing and get the same absolution. You can be involved in that day after day after day and never be concerned about the estate of your soul. My dear brothers and sisters, that is so far from Bible doctrine. All right, so then in verses 16 through 20, the Lord... let me say it this way. I think this is a hyperbolic statement. And here's why I say it. If the Lord was going to tell Jeremiah in a meaningful way, do not pray for this people, then he wouldn't have told them to tell them, don't pray for this people. This is hyperbolic. Remember, if the Lord is still speaking to you, there's still hope. Even if the Lord says, you're not my people. Because what did he say to those people that he said, you're not my people? They shall be called the sons of the living God. The Lord often speaks in such dire and hyperbolic language because that's the only thing that will rescue our hearts out of the doldrums and spiritual slumber that they found themselves in. How would it be? How would it be? There's this old story about John Knox. I don't know if you've heard it before, but you know, toward the end of his life, he ended up being pretty feeble. He'd been a guy that, you know, I mean, he'd really spent it. And so they would have to carry him to the pulpit and sit him on a stool. And they bring him up to the pulpit and they sit him down on a stool and he steals himself on the pulpit. There is no word of the Lord for this congregation today. And then they come and they take him away. Well, the pastor had something to teach his people that day, didn't he? And the pastor here in Jeremiah has something to teach his people that day. When he's told some of the most frightening words that they will ever hear, do not pray for this people. Maybe there were 1, 2, or 5, or 10, a dozen or 100 that heard those words of Jeremiah and repented. There are times when the Lord speaks, He will present His face to us as a face of stone to break our hearts of stone. Right? So, I think this is hyperbolic language. But notice that it's hyperbolic in the sense that the Lord says, do not pray for them when He is still entreating them through His prophet. And yet, notice the depth of their sin. They're gathering wood. They're making cakes so they can bake them to the Queen of Heaven. Now, I want you to remember the Queen of Heaven. Not to worship her, but because we're going to hear about her again in Jeremiah 49. Okay? In Jeremiah 49, we're going to hear a little bit more about the Queen of Heaven. And we're going to recall Jeremiah chapter 7 in that day. Lord willing. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured upon this place, man and beast, and so on. And then it's a really interesting thing the Lord does here. Sometimes the Lord knows that appealing to us according to His anger will have less effect upon our hearts than appealing to us for our own self-interest. It's an interesting thing, but it's a condescension of the Lord. We should be able, right? We should be able to think, oh, we're displeasing the Lord, and that would be the horrifying thing to us. But for a people that is hard in their hearts, sometimes the way to break up those stones is to do what? To speak to them about their own self-interest instead. And so notice what the Lord says. Do they provoke me to anger? Well, the answer is, you know, it's a rhetorical question. Of course they do. But notice what He says. Do they not provoke themselves to confusion of face? And He appeals to them according to their own interest. You're cursing yourselves by doing this. And so there are times when the Lord, in His condescension, will speak according to these ways to His people. All right, so then we move on, running pretty quickly here. Verse 29, cut off thine hair. Cut off thine hair, cast it away. After speaking to them in the former section about their ritualism and they're trusting in ritual, the Lord now tells them to mourn. That's what cutting off the hair is. All over the New Testament, we see that the people of God living in the midst of the ancient Near East, they had particular rituals that were rituals of grief and mourning, and one of those pertained to the shaving of the beard, the cutting of the hair, and so on, making baldness between the eyes. That they would, between the eyes, don't think of that, he shaved his unibrow. No, think of it, as higher than that, right? It's between the eyes up here. And so it's a matter of cutting off the hair as a sign of mourning. And so the Lord is telling them to mourn. This is a good word. Although it's a hard word for them, it's a good word. Cut off the hair, cast it away, take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. So then, the rest of the chapter speaks about the judgments of the Lord as they will come upon the people. And again, if the Lord is speaking of judgment, and we'll see this especially as we get to chapter 18, the Lord will speak in judgment to a people in order to turn them. He will speak in judgment to a people because there's yet a remnant left in Jerusalem. And while the city will be destroyed, that's Jeremiah's job to prophesy of that, there will be a remnant that will be saved. This is the hopeful thrust. We're going to see as the prophecy plays out that there were those that obeyed the voice of the prophet. They went out and they were captured by Nebuchadnezzar. And they were taken to Babylon, and they built houses and married wives and had children and prayed for the peace of the city and waited for their return according to the word of the Lord. All right, thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 7.